I'd like to take us to the Word of God this morning, and we're looking to, first of all, to the book of Galatians. Galatians, right towards the end of the Bible, Galatians and chapter 5 this morning. The book of Galatians in chapter 5 gives us a contrast of what happens when someone walks in the flesh and what happens when someone walks with God. And so we have this contrast. And in chapter 5, and on the one hand, God tells us that the works of the flesh are things like adultery and fornication and hatred and strife. Just it lists a long list of what comes when someone walks in the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. It's corruption that comes. It's sinful things. But God contrasts that with what happens when someone walks in the Spirit. When someone has yielded themselves to the Lord and they are listening to the Spirit of God, what God produces in that person's life, God says, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And God says, this is the fruit of the Spirit. We find that here, I believe it's in verse 22 of Galatians 5. Verse 22, the Bible says there, yes, the fruit of the Spirit, and I just mentioned them, all nine of them. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Now we talked in the last few weeks, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, love, the fruit of the Spirit, love. And we saw that that love is not the emotional, you know, feel-good kind of love, but rather it's a very practical love that cares, that really cares about others. It's the kind of love that God had to us. I shouldn't say had, but has. He had and has this kind of love to us. And that's what God wants to produce, a love that can even love its enemies. The Bible tells us that when God came to this world in love, we were his enemies. We were living in sin, we were living in corruption, and God came because he loved us. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It's talking about the people of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so a wonderful opportunity we have to be saved because God loved us. But he wants to produce that same love in us for others, okay? But now this morning we're going to be talking about the joy of the Lord. We're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit, joy, all right? And so I want you to notice over in John chapter 15 now. We're going to go over to the Gospel of John, or St. John in the Bible. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. And chapter 15, the Lord Jesus is the one talking in this passage, and his very words are recorded. And he gives a very vivid illustration of a vine and its branches. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. So the vine is actually the Lord Jesus in John 15. The vine is the Lord Jesus and his Father is the farmer. All right, he's the dresser. He's the one who takes care of the vine. And we, as believers in Jesus Christ, are the branches. And the Lord describes to us in John 15 that as a believer in Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to abide in Christ as a branch abides in the vine and to bring forth fruit. And so one of those fruits is the fruit of joy, the fruit of joy. Let's notice John 15, verse 1, I'll read. It says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. That means he takes care of the vine. He's the farmer. All right. Verse 5 says, or actually verse 4, he says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. And then let's skip down to verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you. Would you read it together if you have your place there in verse 11? These things have I spoken unto you now together, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Jesus teaches us about this relationship of the believer to Jesus. This relationship of the vine and the branch. He teaches us about this because he says, this will give you joy. This will give you joy. Abiding in Christ will give you joy. Now, I have 3 points this morning, and they all start with F, okay? And so the first one is, you can have joy in your life if you know that you are forgiven. Forgiven. And I use the word that starts with F there because, you know, I'm really talking about salvation. Are you saved? Are you forgiven? And so, are you forgiven? That'll bring you joy. Are you in fellowship with the Lord? That will bring you joy. And where is your focus? That has great potential to bring you joy. And so the joy of the Lord we're going to talk about this morning and how we can have His joy in our life. Heavenly Father, we need your help. And we want to understand this truth. We want to know you in a deeper way. And I pray that you would help the gospel of Jesus Christ to be clear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The first point is forgiven. Are you saved? I'll share a scripture here. And you probably would remember this. We probably don't have to turn there. It's recorded in Luke chapter 2. But it's the Christmas story. And it's specifically when the angels came to announce the birth of Jesus. And they came to the shepherds on the hillside. You remember that? If you remember that story, raise your hand. All right? Shepherds on the hillside. And this host of angels comes, right? And the shepherds are, whoa, they're afraid, right? And I would be too. And you know what? The Bible tells us that the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Good tidings of great joy, shepherds, because there's a Savior. And it's not just a Savior of many Saviors. It's the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave His life, who would give His life on the cross. Wow, good tidings of great joy. I'll tell you what, if you know you're saved, if you know you're forgiven, that'll bring you joy. I'm not saying that every saved person is joyful. Sometimes we lose our joy for various and sundry reasons, which we'll talk a little bit about. But first of all, knowing that you are saved will give you joy. I mean, let's think for a moment where a person is if they're not saved. I'll tell you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible tells us that we are the enemies of God. We're separated from God. Now, even though we're enemies, He loves His enemies. And He gave Himself so that we could be saved. Because He doesn't want anyone to perish. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God desires that every man, woman, and child would turn to Jesus. It doesn't matter how great a sinner they are. We're all in the same boat. We've all sinned. And you know what? We all need the Savior. And if we don't have the Savior, I'll tell you, there's great reason to not have joy. Oh, now everybody has circumstances, you know, when things are going well and, you know, they made a lot of money or they've been able to, you know, buy this cool truck things are going well and, you know, feeling good and feeling healthy. But you know what? That's not the joy that we're talking about. We're not talking about that feel-good kind of stuff. We're talking about the joy of the Lord in our life, that even when things are difficult, we have the joy of the Lord. When God fills us with the joy in our heart, even when, hey, there's difficult situations, there's things that aren't quite working out like we wish they would have, but I am Christ's, and He is mine, and there's the joy of the Lord in your life. And you know what? That is the first aspect. If we talk about joy, I'll tell you what, the joy of the Lord, the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God in someone's life, you can't have the fruit of the Spirit of God in your life unless you know Christ. I mean, it just doesn't happen. God doesn't give the joy of the Lord to those who don't know Him. He doesn't give the joy of the Lord to those who are headed to a horrible place called hell. And that's the trouble, is that we as sinners deserve judgment. And God is a righteous and holy judge. And He will judge sin. He will judge sin. And there is a real hell. Yes, there is. But there's a real heaven. And I'll tell you what, the people who are going to be in heaven are not people who were better than the others, but the people who trusted the Savior. I'll tell you what, and if they trusted the Savior, I mean, hopefully they lived a godly life. I mean, that should come as a natural result, right? We're not saying that live like the devil and you can get to heaven anyway just because you said a little prayer or something. We're talking about if you do business with God and you trust Jesus as your Savior, not your own works, but Jesus Christ alone. We're talking about the reality that God makes you His child, that God forgives your sin, that God has a place prepared for you 2 weeks ago, or 1 week ago, actually. 1 week ago yesterday, I preached a funeral for a man in Bismarck. And you know what? I didn't know the gentleman very much. He was in his early 80s. And his dear wife, whom I knew a little better, asked me to preach the funeral and to minister to the family there. And you know, before he died, she had asked me a couple weeks before, thankfully, because I had the opportunity to know that he was sick and I had the opportunity to go and visit him. And visiting him in the nursing home as he was at that time, fading in and out kind of on, you know, some medication for pain, I was able to talk with him and I was able to say, Howard, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And I remember when I asked that question, just like that, I said, Howard, I was right there standing right close to him beside his bed. And I said, Howard, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And right away there was this, you know, he's very ill and he kind of, you know, fades in and out with, you know, in a few minutes, he's not always coherent. But at this time, there was a twinkle in his eye, there was a smile on his face at that moment, and immediately he said, yes, I have. And you know, that's a blessing. A man on his deathbed, whom I didn't know real well. And his wife's a believer, and his wife had professed, you know, that he knows the Lord and all that. But I hadn't asked him that question. I just was looking for the opportunity to visit with him about that. And God gave me that opportunity. I was able to talk to him. And like when I asked that question, the twinkle in his eye, the peace in his soul, I'll tell you, that's a blessing that no one can take away. I'll tell you, when we talk about the joy of the Lord, we're talking about, first of all, being saved. Because if you're not saved, you have reason to not be joyful, let me tell you. Because I'll tell you, God said, the Lord Jesus said that there's a broad road that leads to destruction. But He said, there's a narrow way that leads unto life. And that way is Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And so when we're talking about the joy of the Lord, I'll tell you what, the joy of the Lord comes when someone knows Jesus as their personal Savior. It's not someone who's, you know, had to go through a bunch of hoops and join a church and do all these good works to hopefully make it to heaven. No. I mean, God has the church and we ought to be a part of it. And We ought to live a godly life, that is for sure. But I'll tell you what, the way of salvation isn't go to church every Sunday. The way of salvation isn't treat others right. That's not the way of salvation. Jesus is the way of salvation. Jesus is the one who gave his life on the cross of Calvary for sinners like me. Jesus is that one. Now, because I have trusted Jesus as my Savior, and he kept his promise, and he has saved me. He has saved me and given me life. And I'll tell you what, he made me a new creature. And I want to serve God. I want to walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God. And so we're talking here about the joy of the Lord. And first of all, the joy will come if we are saved, if we are forgiven, cleansed of our sin. You know, the Lord Jesus said something to, I believe it was his disciples in Luke chapter 10. His disciples in verse 20 were rejoicing that they were able to cast out demons and do many wonderful works. I'm going to go over here to Luke chapter 10, verse 17 is where I'd like to begin. And the 70 returned. So the Lord Jesus had sent out 70 people to share the message of Christ, to preach the gospel. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Jesus at this time gave these disciples great power with the authority of Christ. And they did some wonderful works in preaching the message of Christ. But I'll tell you what Jesus said. Hey, he says, listen, don't rejoice that you can do great things for me. He said, rejoice that you are mine. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And so, as we talk about the joy of the Lord, are you saved? Are you forgiven? Do you have the hope of God resting in your heart? As we continue to the next point, not only are you forgiven, do you know Christ is your Savior, but secondly, are you in fellowship with God? Are you in fellowship with God? Because you know what? You can be saved and not in fellowship with God, and therefore not have the joy of the Lord. Did you know that that's possible? It's possible for a saved person to not have the joy of the Lord. And so the second aspect I want to talk about is fellowship. Fellowship is something that happens in a relationship, all right? My wife here is my sweet wife, and we have a relationship. But you know what? We need not just to have the relationship husband-wife, but we need to have some fellowship too, right? I mean, if we're at odds with each other and not on speaking terms, it's not a good place to be, right? And if that happened, it's probably me that's the problem. But you know what? There's the aspect of I can know Jesus as my Savior, but I also need to have fellowship. Does that make sense? The two aspects, I can be saved and be living a stubborn life. You know, I can be out of fellowship with God. And I want you to notice 1 John. This is not the Gospel of John where we were, but now 1 John. This is right to the end of the Bible, just before Revelation. 1 John and chapter 1. 1 John and chapter 1, talking about how the fellowship with God brings great joy. Let's notice verse 1, 1 John chapter 1, and now verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So, fellowship. First John is going to talk to us a lot about fellowship. And here in the beginning of this letter, the Apostle John says, I want to tell you about who we saw. I want to tell you about Jesus so that you too can have fellowship with him. And so John is talking about what he literally saw with his eyes 2,000 years ago, walking with Jesus, eating with Jesus, seeing Jesus do miracles. And John says, I want you to see this testimony of Jesus, my personal testimony. And that's what he's talking about. And so notice, I'll read verse 2 again. For the life was manifested, or the life of Jesus was made known. And we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you, help me now, that your joy may be full. He says, what? These things I've written unto you that your joy may be full. He's telling us, he's talking to us about fellowship. But fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Notice verse 5. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John is talking to us about fellowship. It's not talking to us about relationship. Like I said, my wife and I have a relationship. We need to maintain fellowship. Now, I realize that if the fellowship's bad, it does affect the relationship. But, you know, the reality is that God will be faithful. God is faithful to us. If we've trusted Christ as our Savior, that'll give you great joy. But you know what? If you as a saved person are living a life that is contrary to what God is telling you, you're going to be miserable. You're not going to have the joy of the Lord, because we must know that we're saved and we must walk in the light. Notice verse 7 again. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, if I'm walking with God and I'm seeking the Lord, and as a saved person, I'm walking with my Savior, you know what? When sin comes in my life, when a temptation comes and I blow it, you know what? God will convict me and I can get that right. And oh, Lord, please cleanse me of that. Or if I need to go to someone else and say, the way I handled that yesterday wasn't right. I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? And we can get wrongs right. Why? So we can maintain fellowship. And that'll give you joy. I'll tell you, you start getting right with God and others, you'll get joy. You'll get joy that God brings even though your health is failing. You'll get joy in your heart that God brings even though things aren't working out so well in, you know, financially, or you know, you lost your job, or there's a health need in your family, or you lost a loved one. But I'll tell you what, if you know Christ as your Savior and you are walking in fellowship with God, God will give you his joy. It's a joy that God says is unspeakable. In other words, another word for that might be unexplainable. Even though there's trials going on, even though things aren't working out like you wish they would, I know the Lord. He is my Savior. And there's a communion, there's a fellowship with God, and that'll give you great joy. Great joy. And so here in 1 John chapter 4, he says, "These things write we unto you that your joy may be full." So fellowship. Fellowship in a relationship. I want to just make this note before I go to the third point, that this fellowship needs to be first and foremost with God. But you know what? God reminds us in his word that if we are not in right fellowship with others horizontally, we can't be right with God vertically, right? And so it's important for us to get right with others, right? That we have fellowship with others. And you know what? If we're harboring hatred towards someone, or bitterness towards someone else, unforgiveness or resent towards anyone, you know what? It hinders our joy. It really does. It'll zap your joy. You harbor bitterness for somebody, anger for, it could be years ago. It'll zap your joy. Because the joy of the Lord does not fill someone who's filled with hate. The two can't dwell in the same heart. But I'll tell you what. You write that note to that person and you say, "Hey, what I did 5 years ago, or what you did to me, or whatever, I release that to the Lord. I forgive you. And I love you." You write a card like that, or you know, you make that phone call and you say, "Would you please forgive me? The way I talked to you 5 years ago or 10 years ago, that it wasn't right. And God has showed me that." You start getting wrongs right from the past, I'll tell you what'll happen. God will fill you with his joy. There's joy in getting right with God and with others. And so that brings us to the third point, the third F this morning. Are you forgiven? That'll bring you great joy when you know Christ is your Savior. Are you in fellowship with God and with others? That'll bring you great joy, the joy of the Lord. And number three, where is your focus? Focus. You know what? I can be saved, and I can be in right fellowship with God and with others, and my focus can still be wrong. If my focus is on my kingdom instead of God's, you know what? That's gonna interrupt my joy. That's gonna interrupt the joy, because a proud person or a selfish person is a discontented person. Did you know that? Someone who walks in pride or arrogance or that kind of thing, they're discontented. When Jesus taught about prayer and when he taught us to pray, he said this, you'll remember these words. He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." You know, sometimes when we pray, or how we think is, Oh Lord, bless my kingdom, you know, that I'm trying to build. Lord, help me to have this wonderful hot rod, right? Selfish. If our focus is on ourselves and what we didn't get, hey, they got $2 an hour more than I did. That's not fair. Hey, listen, if your focus is like that, instead of saying, "Hey, that's great. I heard that you got a promotion." Praise the Lord. You see, God wants us to have a right focus. So, I got three little points here. First of all, I already shared with you, where is your focus? Is it on God and his kingdom rather than on me and my kingdom? I'll tell you what, if your focus is on you and your kingdom, you'll be a discontented person. Focus on the Lord, his kingdom. The second aspect to our focus that I'm going to note is we need to focus on God's objective truth rather than my fickle feelings. focus on God's objective truth. In other words, when I'm going through times of trial, if my hope is in the Word of God and what God has promised instead of my feelings, it's going to give me joy. Because I can say, I don't understand what's going on, but I know He loves me. I don't understand what's going on, but He said He is working all things together for good to them that love Him. Romans 8:28. And my hope is in God's objective truth rather than my fickle feelings. And that'll give you joy. You get your eyes on the Lord. His kingdom, not mine. Hey, things might not be working out in my kingdom, but they're working out in His. And I'll tell you what, you get your focus on what God is doing, on what God wants to do, it'll give you joy. On God's truth, not my fickle feelings. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, verse 49, he said, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me," or "thy word hath made me alive." And the third aspect here, we need to focus on God's revealed will rather than fluctuating circumstances. I need to focus on God's revealed will rather than on fluctuating circumstances. You know what? If we go on circumstances, if we're looking to joy and contentment in our circumstances, our joy is going to be like this. When we got the promotion, when things are going well, when we're feeling good, when we got the cool car, you know, it's like this. Yeah, hey, yeah, it's going great, yeah. And then we're down in the pits when things aren't so well, when the car broke down, and when that person disappointed us. But I'll tell you what, if we have our eyes on Jesus, if we're focused on His truth, if we are focused on His kingdom and doing His will rather than my kingdom, rather than my feelings, rather than circumstances, then I can have the joy of the Lord. So, we talked about three things. Are you forgiven? Are you forgiven? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you in fellowship with God and others? Because I tell you what, you won't have joy if you're not in fellowship with God and with others. And number three, where's your focus? Focus. If you're focused just on yourself, your kingdom, what you didn't get, or the joy of the Lord will flee out of your being. But I'll tell you what, we get those right, in the right order, all right? It's not just about focus, because you need to be saved. You need to be saved. I mean, you can't have the joy of the Lord even if you sort of have this focus, on others. Hey, if you're not saved, you're not going to have the joy of the Lord. But you can have the joy when you trust Jesus. The beautiful thing about salvation is that it's a free gift. I always think of the one of the criminals that was crucified 2,000 years ago next to Jesus. And that criminal was a sinner by every count. A thief and all of that. But you know what? That day, he got saved. He got saved while he was hanging on a cross. He got saved there next to Jesus. And he believed on Jesus, the Bible records. The Bible records that he said to the Lord Jesus, he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said to that man, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." You see, salvation is a free gift to sinners. You don't have to earn your way to heaven. You need to trust Jesus. Jesus Christ is willing to save whosoever will. Can I ask you, with heads bowed, with our eyes closed, as we ponder what we've heard this morning, the Word of God, talking about the joy of the Lord in someone's life, do you have that joy? There's various things we've talked about, but the first and foremost is, do you know Jesus as your Savior? I didn't ask whether you're a good person. I didn't even ask whether you've been baptized or whether you go to church. Or I didn't ask that question because that's not the most relevant question. The question is, have you put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you? He offers salvation. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. Have you trusted Christ? With heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anyone who would raise the hand to indicate, would you pray for me regarding that matter of salvation? Anybody raise the hand, say, you know, you don't have to say anything, just indicate that, yes, I see that. Anybody else? Yes. Anybody else? I'm not sure I'm saved. I see that as well. Lord, I do pray for these that have raised the hand regarding this matter. I pray that you'd give them understanding of the gospel. And I pray that you would help them to see that you want to save them and that they would be able to get that matter settled by putting their faith in Jesus Christ alone. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us who are saved. Help us in this area of fellowship with you, Lord, as well as with others. As you show us things that aren't right and things we need to get right, help us to be obedient to your direction. Help us to step out and humble ourselves and to make things right, that our fellowship with you and with others might be repaired. And Lord, in the area of focus as well, oh, it's so easy for us to focus on ourselves, what we didn't get, what's not working out for us, instead of focusing on you, on your promises, on your holy word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us in these areas, that you would fill your people with your joy. You want us to walk in the joy of the Lord. You've said the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, that we would walk with rejoicing in Christ, even when trials are difficult, even when things are challenging. Help us to keep our eyes on you and to rejoice in our salvation. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.